In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good and master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In this first section today, I'm going to be looking at the priesthood, and I'm going to be doing it from another angle next time. Today, I just want to look at Pastores Dabo Vobis, which is the apostolic exhortation that followed the Synod of 1990, which was on the ministerial priesthood. And it derives and often quotes the working of the Synod, but it does expand our view and realize that we've lost something dear to the Church, and expounded beautifully by the mystics, who we're going to look at next week, on this notion of priesthood. Three times in this document, there is reference to an ontological bond. I'm going to quote this first one, which is from the Synod. Then the Pope comments, "These statements showed an awareness of the specific ontological bond which unites the priesthood to Christ the High Priest and Good Shepherd. And then this identity is built upon the type of formation which must be provided for the priesthood and then endure throughout the priest's whole life. This was the precise purpose of the Synod." In other words, to restore to us a vision of priesthood. Sometimes when I've said this before, I'll be in a gathering of priests, 200 or 300, and I'll say, "How many people here heard about the priestly character when they were in the seminary?" And of the 200, maybe 10 or 12 will put up their hands. This ontological bond, which, as we're going to see, begins with from eternity with the procession of the Word. And we'll look at that in a moment. There's a long section here that I want to read. I probably won't read the whole thing, but it's important. We know all this, but to be reminded, the priest is first of all a minister of the Word of God. That's his first, what it says here. He is consecrated and sent forth to proclaim the good news of the kingdom to all, calling every person to the obedience of faith, and leading believers to an ever-increasing knowledge of and communion in the mystery of God, as revealed and communicated to us in Christ. So they're describing the priest as an ambassador or minister preaching to everybody, and then that preaching which is to the people of God, which takes place mostly at the Mass. And it says, you see, leading believers to an ever-increasing knowledge of the mystery of God as it's revealed in Christ. Okay, but then it goes on to say, "For this reason, the priest himself ought first of all to develop a great personal familiarity with the Word of God." Now, bluntly, for those who have been ordained more than 10 years, that very seldom happened, because the atmosphere was so gripped by historical work, even the historical critical method, that it never moved on to give an anointed understanding of the Word itself and show seminarians and young priests what they're supposed to acquire before they preach. So it's talking about the Word of God. It says, knowledge of its linguistic or exegetical aspects, linguistic and exegetical. though certainly necessary, is not enough. He needs to approach the word with a docile and a prayerful heart so that it may deeply penetrate his thoughts and feelings and bring about a new outlook in him, the mind of Christ. You see, when we read the scriptures that way, the Holy Spirit takes the reality, which is mediated by the words, and imprints the reality on our spirit. And we know the reality. And we know that we know the reality. Then we preach the reality under the aegis and authority of the words. But we're preaching the reality. We're not just explaining the words. This is the primary duty of a priest, according to this. First of all, the priest is a minister of the word. He needs to approach the word with a docile and prayerful heart so that it may deeply penetrate his thoughts and feelings and bring about a new outlook in him, the mind of Christ. The priest ought to be the first believer in the word while being fully aware that the words of his ministry are not his, but those of the one who sent him. He is not the master of the word, but its servant. This is important. We have to preach what the word says, what the reality that the word mediates. We can't fool around with it. There are some Episcopal conferences, for instance, that knock out that line in Ephesians 5. See, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Rather than study and find out that it's a call to love, it's got nothing to do with power structure. Nothing. How could Paul be describing power structure talking to Christians? It's like that thing in Philippians, you see, where it says, esteem one another greater than yourselves and avoid conflict. And it's trying to point out something. And it's to submit yourselves. It doesn't say be submitted. Really, it says subordinate yourself. It's a free act. Then when it starts to talk about what the man has to do to serve the wife, it says he has to lay down his life. He has to lay down his life. Well, that's an example where somebody said, we don't need that line. It's the word of God. Does it strike us today as being patriarchal or dominating? Then penetrate it. Pray for light. Say, that can't be what you mean. So please help us. And then look around. There are good studies of that. It's Ephesians 5 and so forth. Okay? Precisely because he can and does evangelize, the priest, like every other member of the church, ought to grow in awareness that he himself is continually in need of being evangelized, which is just about what I said. And so, as a result, in order that he himself may possess and give to the faithful the guarantee that he is transmitting the gospel in its fullness, the priest is called to develop a special sensitivity, love, and docility to the living tradition of the church, to her magisterium. These are not foreign to the word, but serve its proper interpretation and preserve its authentic meaning. That's very important, okay? That's the longest quote I've got. The baptized are living stones who build the spiritual edifice by keeping close to Christ, that living stone in God's sight, chosen and precious. The new priestly people, which is the church, not only has its authentic image in Christ, but also receives from him, and again this word, ontological share in his one eternal priesthood. Not the same way as the priest does. See, the priest is given a character, which is an ontological and psychological bond with the Word of God made flesh. When we get to what these mystics see this, it's going to be quite powerful. Yes, the Spirit of the Lord is the principal agent in our spiritual life. You know, the Holy Spirit, Karl Rahner said this once, if by some impossibility the church were to declare there was no Trinity, 95% of the books on spirituality would not have to be rewritten. They all talk about God, 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 but never the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, who speaks to us, loves us, consoles us, strengthens us, guides us, accuses us, corrects us. Precious. This is the very third person of the Trinity, a divine person, who comes to us as our companion. And so, after that, the Pope quotes this from the ordination rite. Almighty Father, give these sons the dignity of the priesthood. Renew in men the outpouring of your spirit of holiness, O Lord, that they might fulfill the ministry of the second degree of the priesthood, first as a bishop, received from you, and by their example may lead all to upright conduct of life. Lead. Just don't point. Don't threaten. Lead. That's different. That means we got to be holy. Okay. I'm looking for the quotes that I want to... I want to get to that one on character, if I can find it. Now, this is a quote I do want to read, though. The first and fundamental manner of responding to the Word is prayer, which without any doubt is a primary value and demand of spiritual formation. That's so important. You've got to pray. I do think priests are praying more now than in the big excitement after Vatican II, when everybody was doing their thing. Liturgies looked like a Rowan and Martin show. You know, things have calmed down, and most priests do pray. But we have to remember, see, prayer is a living, conscious action of the Holy Spirit in us. Remember how we quoted that thing, I think it's 2564 of the Catechism? Prayer is the work of God and man. It is the action of the Holy Spirit and ourselves. We yield to this work of God who yearns, the Spirit yearns to bring us in his return to the Father. Okay. I want to find this other one now. After all this advertisement, I hope I can find it. To be pastorally effective, this is not the one I want, but it's another one. Intellectual formation is to be integrated with a spirituality marked by a personal experience of God. That's the whole point. Now, here's the one that I wanted to read, sort of in conclusion. The Spirit, by consecrating the priest and configuring him to Jesus Christ, head and shepherd. Who's doing this? The Spirit. Creates a bond which, located in the priest's very being, demands to be assimilated and lived out in a personal, free, and conscious way through an ever richer communion of life and love, an ever broader and more radical sharing in the feelings of and attitudes of Jesus Christ. In this bond between the Lord Jesus and the priest, an ontological and psychological bond, a sacramental and moral bond, is the foundation and likewise the power for the life according to the Spirit and that radicalism of the gospel to which every priest is called today and which is fostered by ongoing formation.